This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Glad that you're with us today. I appreciate your prayers that the Lord will use this ministry to the glory of His name. I've been receiving a good many letters from prisoners. Of course, we've always received that through the years, but I've just been particularly touched by some who have written recently, and I would ask you to make that a special part of your prayer, that God will bless this broadcast to be a help to those who are in prison, and to all who are in desperate need of the truth of God's Word. I hope that you will write us. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. We continue with our series from the Gospel of John. The subject today is Peter's denial from John chapter 18, verses 15 through 27. We go once again to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. We begin reading with verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, which I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. We see here the denial of Peter. We previously looked at the rejection of Jesus. In the 12th verse, it said, Then the hand of the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Jesus is here arrested. This large number of soldiers, officers, and officials come to arrest him. They bind him. They lead him away. Now, it certainly was no surprise that Jesus was rejected. Isaiah had prophesied long before, He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They rejected his teachings throughout his ministry. He came declaring, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He spoke of the fact that he was God's son. He declared his own deity, and they rejected the message. Of course, the Jews had a long history of rejecting the word of God. We looked at a number of scriptures last time, noting that the Lord sent to them his message, sent his prophets time after time, and they rejected his word. Now, here comes Jesus Christ on the scene, the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies, the one who was typified in all of the shadows of the sacrificial offerings that were made. Now the true Lamb of God has come. And rather than rejoicing that he is here, receiving his message and delighting in it, they reject him. And so we observe the blindness of their eyes and the hardness of their heart. How pathetic that a people who are part of a nation that had been so wonderfully favored of God, blessed abundantly, yet at this most crucial hour are in such darkness that rather than receiving the Messiah, rather than rejoicing in his gospel, they desire to put him to death. Their eyes were closed, their hearts were hard. And yet, in the midst of this dark scene, Jesus Christ is glorifying the Father. He had said repeatedly that he came not to carry out a mission separate and apart from that which was given of the Father, but to do explicitly what the Father had for him to do. And so he was submissive when they came to bind him. He had the power that he could have subdued them. He could have walked away from them. He could have called down legions of angels, but he submitted because this was the will of the Father, that he would come to the world to save sinners. It was necessary that he go to the cross to save those that were given him by the Father, to save your soul. If indeed you have salvation, it's not the result of your effort, your moral status, your good works, but of the perfect sacrifice made by Jesus Christ at Calvary. They first took him to Annas, who had been the high priest, but was removed from that office by the Romans. But the Jews resented the fact that the Romans interfered, and they still looked to Annas as really officially being the high priest. So they took him there first. And Annas had a special hatred for Jesus, because Jesus had twice cleansed the temple. And Annas and others thought that this was indeed a terrible demonstration of an impudent spirit, that one would dare to come and claim that the temple, the place where they worship God, needed cleansing, and that the money changers needed to be thrown out. Some have speculated that Annas himself probably profited from what was going on in the temple, when the priests would reject the animal that the people were bringing with them and said, oh, you'll have to buy one here. So there were a lot of things that were building up to this day that would cause these who were in authority, a place of leadership in the Jews' religion, to despise and reject Jesus Christ. He then attempts to get Jesus to incriminate himself. He's asking him about his disciples and about his doctrine. And according to Jewish law, he was totally out of place. The one who was standing trial was never asked to testify. Never was he asked to speak anything that could possibly incriminate himself. So everything about the procedure, everything about this initial hearing in the house of Annas, on to the fact that he ultimately stood before Pilate, all of this was illegal. Contrary to all of the intricate details of the Jewish law, which was designed very carefully to be sure that an innocent man was never convicted. For one of the things, it was illegal to hold a trial at night. And they have taken him at nighttime. And all that is proceeding is in this dark time. It was illegal to strike a prisoner. And yet this one soldier slaps Jesus in the face and suggests that Jesus has been impotent in the answer that he is giving to the questions posed. But that's not the case at all. Jesus is simply calling for them to give him a fair hearing. He's saying, what I have spoken is well known. It's not necessary that I give a testimony here which would be contrary to what was required. So we're made to think about the words of Peter in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2 and the 22nd verse. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So in spite of the terrible treatment that was being meted out to him, Jesus conducted himself honorably. And he sets an example for us that we must not retaliate. We must not seek to impose some kind of hurt upon those that may have harmed us. As he continues to question him about what he has taught, because he's hoping that Jesus will make a statement by which he may be convicted. The whole desire has already been discussed previously, that they want to put this man to death. They see this as the only possibility of maintaining their position. They were concerned when so many were believing because of the miracles that they saw. They said, "We've got to do something with him. We can't let things go on as they are." But Jesus had nothing to hide. In the 20th verse of this 18th chapter, Jesus answered, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple." I wasn't a part of some conspiracy. I wasn't speaking in the background. The things that I had to say, I spoke openly. I was right in your temple, in your synagogue, where the Jews resort. "And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." It's interesting then to observe that Jesus had no secrets. You know, there are societies and even religious organizations that have certain secrets, that you've got to know the password, you've got to know the handshake, you've got to be a part of their system to know the secret message. Jesus had no secrets. What he preached openly. He preached in the synagogue. He preached in the streets. And so the gospel that we have is not a message that has some secret code connected with it. It's a message that clearly declares Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. Now, it's interesting, as John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records these events, there's a movement from the description of what's happening to Jesus to description of what's going on with Peter, and back to what's happening to Jesus, and back again to what's happening with Peter. And the fact that it is intermingled here possibly is for the purpose of helping us to see the vivid contrast. Jesus is faithful to his commitment to his Father. Jesus is doing the right thing. Jesus is without sin. But Peter is failing. Peter is coming short. We're going to see why. First, then, we observe his self-confidence. Peter was bold. He was a courageous man. Everything about him indicates that when you read the experiences recorded in the gospel record. Peter was very quick to speak, very quick to act. He was a courageous individual. Back in Matthew chapter 16 and the 16th verse, we find that he was one that made a confession concerning Jesus Christ. Jesus had asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And then Simon Peter said in the 16th verse, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus makes this observation, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter speaks up when the question is asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And they talk about the speculations that others have made. But Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And he makes this clear acknowledgement. There was no hesitation. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, some who had been following Jesus were disturbed by Jesus' message. And so in chapter 6 and the 66th verse, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? While there are these who are turning away, no longer to walk with Jesus, no longer to receive his message. And Jesus says, will you go away? Then who's going to answer? Peter. He's generally the first one to speak. And in many cases, he says the right thing, does the right thing. He had been a courageous follower of Jesus. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And he furthermore said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So once again, he makes a clear confession of his faith in Christ. Where could we go? There's no place to go. Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. And let me tell you, if you ever have those moments when Satan is attacking you and you feel like giving up, just think about it. If you're going to turn away from the Lord, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go for help? There's no place to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So Peter was also that one that when the disciples were out in the boat at sea and they saw Jesus come walking on the water, Peter wanted to jump out of the boat and go meet him. We can say, well, Peter was impetuous, and it wasn't but a little bit till he was sinking in the water and had to pray for the Lord to rescue him, but he did get out of the boat more than the rest of them did, so we have to say he was a courageous man. And we see that when the soldiers are coming to arrest Jesus, Peter was not going to just stand back and watch it happen. He took out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Obviously, he had intended to cut off his head, but the man ducks and he only got his ear. But certainly, it demonstrates the fact that Peter was not one who was slinking in the background and not one who was generally inactive. He was one that was out front. He was one that was clearly demonstrating the fact that he was ready to fight for his Lord. So he had great self-confidence. But the problem was he was depending on his courage. He was depending on his own strength. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am then risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. My, what boldness. But the problem was, he wasn't aware of his own weakness. He didn't realize at this time how quickly he could fall, how easily he would give in. Oh, Lord, I'll never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus says, here you make this claim. You're confident, but confident in yourself. And I'm telling you that before the night's over, you will have denied me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Can you imagine? He's going to argue with the Lord about this. He'll say, Lord, you're mistaken. You don't understand. I'm committed. I'm going to stand with you if I have to die with you. That's all right. Likewise also said all the disciples. You see, at this point, he was depending on his natural temperament toward being one that was bold, ready to speak, ready to act, courageous, but he wasn't depending on his Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14 and the 11th verse, it says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you exalt yourself, if you take up the language of Peter, So I'll tell you right now, I'm a committed Christian. I see others faltering. I see others falling by the wayside. I see others turning back. That'll never happen to me. I've been following a long time. I've got a good track record. I'm never going to fail. That's dangerous language. It's a dangerous place to be standing. You're on slippery ground. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 has been talking about the failure of Israel in the wilderness. It said in the 10th verse, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. These things are a benefit to us. Let us learn, as we see their failure, that we also are apt to fail and will fail unless we walk by faith and trust in the Lord. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The one that thinks he stands, the one that makes all of these claims, the one that says it couldn't happen to me, I'll stand to the last man, I'll die if necessary, that man's ready to fall. Peter had forgotten the words of Jesus when he says, "Without me ye can do nothing." Without me ye can do nothing that's worthwhile, nothing that is profitable, nothing that is God-honoring. How well do you know that fact today? Have there been times that you've forgotten it? You've started down a path thinking that there is a task to perform, there's a problem to solve, there's a difficulty to overcome, and I'm going to get it done. But you forgot. Without me, ye can do nothing. And so often when we undertake the project on our own, we've decided what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. We haven't confessed our weakness. We haven't acknowledged our need. We haven't prayed. We haven't sought the Lord. We cause complications, sometimes downright chaos, as a result of our failure to walk by faith, trusting him, realizing and believing that without him we can do nothing. Even after Jesus had told him that he was going to deny him three times, he didn't give himself to prayer. Back when they were in the garden, and Jesus had said, "Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation," Peter falls asleep. He's not praying. He's not considering the dangers ahead. He's not thinking about his own weakness. How about you? As you think about the challenges of a Christian life, you think about the temptations that are often out there, the things that would confuse your mind, ensnare you, lead you down the wrong path, tempt you to go in the wrong direction. How do you prepare for it? Do you pray as Jesus taught us in the model prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil"? Do you come before him acknowledging, "Lord, I am weak. I will submit to any temptation unless you sustain me. I know I'm to run the race, I'm to fight the battle, but in order to do it, I must have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit working in me. I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour." So we observe then his path to failure. He had not really received deep into his heart the things that he had heard and seen during the ministry of Jesus. He had seen those miracles. He had seen the lame get up and walk. He had observed the deaf being able to hear, the blind being able to see, the dead being brought to life. He had heard those marvelous discourses that Jesus had preached time and time again. And more recently, he had heard those final words that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He knows that they're disturbed. The thought of his going away has alarmed them. And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then he went on to say that it's necessary that I go away so that I can send you the Comforter. When I'm gone, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And by his enabling power, you're going to be able to do greater works than you could ever have imagined. He's giving them all of this information to prepare them for what's ahead. Peter was a part of that inner circle that had been with Jesus in very intimate fellowship and had been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and had seen Jesus, the man, now displaying this glory that was so blinding that they couldn't look upon him. But it was a peaceful place. It was a joyous experience. Peter says, let's just build 3 tabernacles for you and let's just stay here. I don't want to come down. I want to stay up here on the mountain. He'd had some marvelous, unique experiences. And more recently, he had sat at the institution of the Lord's Supper. He'd heard the words of Jesus. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is the blood of the New Testament. Drink ye all of it. He'd had that experience when Jesus was ready to wash his feet and Peter objected and said, Lord, no, I can't have it. But finally, when he realized he was going to miss something about the fellowship that he would enjoy, he said, all right, Lord, I'm ready. All of those experiences were special, very unique. He'd even heard that prayer recorded in John 17. The most outstanding prayer, the most complete prayer ever prayed. This is a prayer that Jesus prays perfectly to his Father. Peter got to hear that. We're able to read it, but he heard it as it fell from the lips of Jesus. But he had not let all of those marvelous experiences and those wonderful words that he had heard fall from the lips of Jesus penetrate his heart, dominate his thinking, and guide him in his actions. He followed the crowd. How sad it is as we review that account of Peter's denial. He was so sure of himself. He had promised, Lord, I'll be with you to the very end. But it reveals the weakness of human nature. May we all learn from it to know that within ourselves we are weak and we desperately need God's grace to hold us up. I encourage you to write. Let us know that you've listened to the program. The address is The Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Praising my Savior.